then the meeting goes in that order, so we just...
Yes, and no, I'm sure there will be public comment. That's what I'm getting at.
So it's just part of the whole meeting. It's kind of interesting to sit through a city council meeting.
This one should...
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I saw their work. At first we thought, what would all them be doing here for our project?
If you please take your seats, we'll get started. Welcome to this March 27th meeting of the Atascadero City Council. Agendas are available in the back of the room on the right, my right. Agendas and staff reports are available at atascadero.org. And the meeting is being live streamed at slowspan.org. And it's being broadcast on cable charter channel 20. And those broadcasts will be repeated at 1 a.m., 9 a.m., and at 6 p.m. daily. It's also being broadcast on KPRL. Council just came out of a closed session, so I'll ask for a report on closed session from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor Luna. The council did meet in closed session. We gave further directions to our labor negotiator on the first item, and the second item we did not discuss and continued to the next meeting.
Thank you. The next item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join Councilmember Clay.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the veterans in the audience and all the people that are serving, and I certainly appreciate it, and it's a real honor to do the flag salute with so many great people here.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bayrou.
Here.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Here.
And Mayor Luna.
Here.
All present.
Next item on the agenda is community forum. I do have some requests. I would ask, first of all, that the speakers give their name and at least their city. The municipal code asks that they give their address, that you give their address, but for privacy reasons, please, the name of your city will suffice. Please direct your comments to the entire council and not to any individual council member. Please do not use slanderous, profane, or negative personal remarks concerning any individual absent or present. To the audience, and throughout the evening, I think these are appropriate. We have these rules so that everyone feels comfortable in speaking. To the audience, I ask that you be respectful and courteous to the speakers and refrain from vocal expressions of approval or disapproval, such as clapping or heckling. So with that, we'll begin, Pastor.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shively from Calvary Chapel in Atascadero. And I'm here tonight representing the Ministerial Association, and I'd like to open the meeting with prayer with whoever want to join. And would it be okay if they say amen at the end of the prayer? I know it's not clapping or anything. With that as well, before I pray, I did want to just invite the community. Easter is around the corner, and we are, the Ministerial Association, once again, is hosting a sunrise service at the Atascadero Lake Park on Easter morning at, I believe it's at 7 p.m. And it's a great event we have every year. Many people come out, so I just want to remind the community of that and personally invite everyone out who would like to come. So Heavenly Father, we praise you, and I just thank you tonight for your goodness, for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for our city. God, we thank you for our city council members, and I just pray your blessing on each one of them. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom, God, in guiding and directing us, God, with the decisions that are put before them. God, in maintaining our city, and Lord, all the staff here as well, just put your blessing upon them, God. Thank you for everyone here tonight, God, and I pray that you would just direct them, Lord. As was mentioned, Lord, I pray that we could speak to one another in a peaceable way, Lord, in a way that we would want to be addressed ourselves, and I would pray for everyone who speaks tonight that you would help them to do that. And Lord, I also just thank you for all of these soldiers here tonight and these veterans who have served our nation. We thank you for them, and God, I ask your blessing on every single one of them, as well as everyone here. And so once again, God, we thank you for your goodness to us and your great grace. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Curtis. I live on Rosario here in Atascadero. Some meetings ago, we asked that the city council consider a finance campaign reform process by which contributions could be either limited or better regulated. My understanding is that Mr. McKinney and Mr. Brendler did attend a meeting concerning something about this. I'm wondering if we can get a report both on where we stand with campaign finance reform as well as the meeting that you attended.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, staff, and attendees. My name is Tom Komar. I'm a longtime Atascadero resident and a spokesperson for Opposed Walmart. And I wanted to thank the council for their quickly acting on your positions and to Dave Broadwater for all the time and effort that he put into the project for televising these meetings. I was unable to make the last meeting, and it was really great to be able to watch and keep up to date on all the important issues by watching a videotape of that meeting. It seemed pretty quiet from our point of view, except perhaps for the background motorcycle noise pollution presentation that was at that meeting. On the Walmart front, there are a few issues I'd like to address tonight. Name-calling and labeling of our grassroots, locally funded group really doesn't generate productive debate over the Walmart issue. And as we've said before, we're all neighbors. We have differences of how we see the future of Atascadero, how we'd like it to look. But the important thing is that what binds us together as neighbors, I believe, is greater than what drives us apart. Why is Walmart the target of so much criticism, resistance around the world, the country, here in Atascadero? The answer is Walmart's unparalleled size and its wealth, and its corresponding impact on everything at home and abroad, from job quality, poverty, the survival of U.S. manufacturing jobs and small businesses, to the environment, healthcare, and crime. Walmart's superstore, their supercenter, has a footprint of between 150,000 and 250,000 square feet, and we believe that this poses a unique threat to our community and bordering cities and the county at large. And we're talking about a building the size of about 4.5 acres, which is the size of the deck of the aircraft carrier Enterprise, with 100 planes sitting on it, with about 12 acres of asphalts around it. Now, Walmart has been written about and has been studied in recent history, making it very difficult to keep up to date on what's happening. However, Opposed Walmart has taken a look at the best independent studies. I would recommend that anybody that's interested in the issue take a look at these studies. There's a great website by a small business group entitled the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, and they put out an executive summary of many studies on Walmart. It's at bigboxtool.com. After looking at these, we did come to one conclusion, and that was that a supercenter would be bad economic development for Atascadero and the citizens here and the county. Now, having drawn this conclusion, we have believed that it's important that the community has, one, the right to know what we may be getting into, and that we've tried to share our information with the community for about a year now. Two, that the community has the right through its elected officials to determine what the location, size, and scale of commercial development in our community should be. And three, that the community has the right to expect that developers and companies that will profit from our community will conform to the vision and zoning requirements spelled out in a community-developed general plan. Now, as we've always stated, we are for good economic development at the Annex. We are supportive of economic development policies, which provide a triple bottom line, and that is a positive return on investment for the affected municipalities, the developer, and the community itself. We do not believe that the Supercenter that may be coming our way again is not a good anchor at the Annex. A report financed by Walmart itself stated that consumers who shop at the Supercenters have less incentive to shop elsewhere. Supercenters eliminate the need, if you will, to patronize multiple businesses. Supercenters don't generate traffic to other stores. Sales tax and traffic studies reveal they don't increase that in the downtown areas. They don't benefit from Supercenters being on the edge of a town. We wonder what businesses will commit to the Colony Square with the Supercenter looming over them. We're for good economic development. By that we mean we want development that consists of a good anchor that's or an anchorless center that has sustainable, diverse, environmental, and pedestrian-friendly areas that support a vibrant downtown. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cormier.
Good evening, council members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bill Arkfeld. I am the co-owner of The Artery at 5890 Traffic Way in downtown Atascadero. You can find us on the web at theartery.info. And just I don't see Steve Martin here today, so I just wanted to throw out a couple events coming up. This Saturday is downtown stroll, or I mean springtime stroll, rather. There'll be wine tasting, music. The shops will have specials. A great way to show your support of our downtown. And then coming up on May 11th, there's a committee has formed to set up a biking event for Bike Month. We're going to set up an easy bike ride around the downtown. Really easy. Anybody can do it. Dust off your lame old bike and join us. And afterwards, we're going to have a movie, probably in the Sunken Gardens. So that's coming up on May 11th. We have a committee. You guys, anybody who would like to participate could get involved in. We'll be meeting this Thursday at 6 o'clock at Earth Tones on Entrada. Let's see. And a couple other things I want to throw out. Special thanks to the city staff for the streetscape scoping that's been going on. We really appreciate that. We look forward to seeing some great projects come out of that. Have something of particular concern to my business is the rumble strips on Traffic Way. These strips are very noisy. They have not really been very effective. I think we have a better solution for that situation. I understand that the city staff installed the rumble strips because of the safety hazards of the crosswalk at Palma and Traffic Way. And I think a simple solution would be to move the crosswalk a little bit to the east to the other side of the intersection. That would eliminate the left turn hazard. That's really the main concern. I'd be glad to talk to anybody further about that issue as well. Let's see, I think that's all I wanted to say today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arkfeld. Those rumble strips are temporary.
My name is Zoe Duty. I'm going to talk about Neighborhood Watch. I'm a resident of Atascadero. It occurred to me some time ago that in the preparation for any kind of disaster, terrorist attack, a earthquake, flu, we don't have a central, we have a central protection through our first defenders. However, the rest of us are scattered all over looking at each other and wondering what do we do next. With a neighborhood watch program, if it was throughout the city, would give us each somebody to look after, or somebody that would, or several people would be checking to see if your house had crumbled down on top of you, or somebody was sick and couldn't get out to get food or to the doctor or whatever. So I just am saying I talked to Mr. Cherry, and he said to go ahead and mention it and then go to the police department, and they're the ones that are in charge of it. But I think it would be a good thing, so I just thought I'd put that word out.
Thank you, Ms. Doody. We do have a disaster plan, and since the last earthquake, it's been revised, so we're working on those.
Good evening. I'm Lee Perkins, and I live in Atascadero. And I'd like to say good evening to the City Council staff, citizens, and all the veterans that are here tonight. I too would like to thank the City Council for being attentive to local activists and getting the City Council on TV. We were unable to be here last week so we could watch it at home. And at the last meeting, I heard a council person say he didn't know where a post-Walmart was getting all the studies from. And I personally dropped off a packet a couple weeks ago with many of these studies and other information regarding the impact of a Walmart supercenter on small towns. So I wanted to be sure that all the council members did receive that packet. And then I have a clarification about Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's chose to go to Templeton because the green grocery building being built was ready and the right size. Trader Joe's wanted to be in the middle of North County and not get involved in the rivalry of Atascadero and Paso Robles. Now we do have a grocery just north of Atascadero. Oppose Walmart encourages development of the annex, but would like to keep supercenters out. I was recently in downtown Pasadena and walked around counting many stores. Some I can only access via the web, which means they aren't here in this county at all. Many of these stores would work in a lifestyle type center and provide good development that would attract tourists. Our area is hungry for diverse shopping experiences. North County residents want to save money and have options, including fancier places to dine and shop. Residents, city staff, and developers have to persuade these businesses to come here. Atascadero can choose this alternative versus duplicating other big box exits off 101. We are all going in the same direction, the future. We are all connected. Oppose Walmart encourages the citizens of Atascadero to do what is right for Atascadero. Good development is outlined in the general plan. We ask the City Council to protect this general plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Perkins.
Steve Martin, Atascadero Main Street. I live in Paso Robles. I just wanted to amplify what Mr. Arkfeld spoke to regarding the upcoming stroll on Saturday. It will be held from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. We have 28 different merchants and vendors that will be participating, including dance demonstrations at the Carlton. We'll have music on the street provided by the Dentures at Palma and Entrada. We'll have artist stations throughout the downtown. We'll have 6 different wine tasting stations. And for $20, you can get a bracelet to walk around downtown Atascadero between 1 and 4 in the afternoon and have a wonderful time. This stroll is the postponement of the Sweetheart Stroll, which usually is scheduled before Valentine's Day. This year, that stroll was rained out. We're looking forward to mostly clear skies and 76 degrees that day, so we invite the community down. On the issue of rumble strips, the Main Street Board of Directors met March the 21st. One of the items on the agenda was the issue of rumble strips, and Director Greg Carroll will be surveying the merchants along Traffic Way to get their input on the rumble strips, bring that back to our board, and we'll be sending you a recommendation after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Is there anyone else who wants to address the council on an issue that's not on the agenda? If you would line up behind the speaker, it would help.
Yes, my name is Ann Ketchersine, and I'm a resident of Atascadero. I was very, very, very sad to hear about Wendy. I knew she was sick, but I didn't know she was that sick. And it just shows that how one day we can be here and the next day we are in heaven or elsewhere, which I'm sure Wendy loved the Lord very much. And I'm happy to feel that she is with the Lord. But it was really, really sad to hear about her. I've known her, I think, 12 years, and we run against each other. But she was a delightful human being, and I'm sure she's entertaining the Lord today. I wasn't going to speak at all tonight, but I just really feel that since a few people have spoke on Walmart, I believe the annex down at the north end of town can be done in such a variety of stores with local people and a few new people coming in, that it can be a beautiful place. Then we'll have the one next door. We'll have the downtown that's been there forever. And then we'll have the North End. And the three can all complement each other. I know that I talked to Doug Millar was kind enough to come from Los Angeles and make a round trip in 24 hours or less to be here. And I talked to him last week, and he doesn't feel Walmart will go away because this is kind of the game they play, he said. I'm hoping he's wrong. He did inform me that Pastor Drake, who he was part of, that's who he goes on his radio show, and then now Doug has his own radio show in Los Angeles. But Pastor Drake is going to boycott Walmarts all through the United States starting April 13th of this year. They're going to be hitting all the Baptist church first. They're going to be coming into all through the United States and teaching people what Walmart is really about, which I'll be truthful. When I first ran last year, I wasn't sure which side of I was on. But as a Christian and as a human being that cares about human rights, I know now for sure I'm anti-Walmart. And I think the best way I can describe it, I know that Walmart has said in the paper, well, it's not the devil. Well, I'm sorry, the 666 is on its way. We're closer to Revelations all the time. And there's going to be times when you have to decide which side you're on the Lord's side or the dark side. And I do really feel, from everything that I've been educated about Walmart, I don't believe Pastor Drake would boycott unless he felt that Christian values are very, very much being stepped on. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Ketcherside. Seeing no one else, I'll close it to the public, bring it back to the council. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, but before we go there, I would like to get the council's agreement to moving item B3 to after presentations. Is that okay? Yeah. It should go very quickly.
I move approval of agenda as modified by the mayor.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, second by Mayor Pro Tem Brendler. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler?
Yes.
And Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Next item on the agenda is presentations, employee service award presentations. City Manager Wade McKinney?
Mayor and Council, thank you. I enjoy these opportunities to recognize our employees tonight. I think we have Mario and Keith. Is that right? My list isn't here. Keith Valerios from the police department right here. I didn't see him. Mario didn't make it this evening, so we'll still have to congratulate Mario. Keith has been with the police department now.
Thank you. The next item is item B3. This is amendment to the City of Atascadero contract with the California Public Employees Retirement System. Assistant City Manager Jim Lewis.
Thank you, Mayor and members of Council. The Council adopted a 4-year memorandum of understanding with SEIU and the Mid-Manager and Professional Group on June 28, 2005, which was an employment agreement. One of the provisions in that employment agreement was effective July 1st, 2007, to amend the retirement plan to the 2.5 at 55 retirement plan. This would apply to all non-safety employees. The amendment was offered in lieu of additional raises in a 4-year term at that time and has now created a contractual obligation for approval of this benefit this evening. The process is that first staff receives evaluation and cost study, which we've done for the amendment, and then rate. So that isn't a $1 million hit today. That's over the life of 40 years. As employees, if they pass away earlier, investments are better. That number changes by the minute. But that's the number we're supposed to disclose to you. The change in accrued liability is $444,362, and the total rate is 2.15%. What does this mean? It means that the cost of this program to the city is $25,000 annually, and that cost could vary depending on the performance of PERS investments and on employee longevity. The employees will be picking up the 1% employee share plus 1.15 of the city's change to 2.1% for 68% of the total cost of the amendment. And that concludes our report. Tonight we're asking you to adopt the draft resolution and introduce for first reading the draft ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any council questions? Is anyone in the public who wants to speak on this? Seeing none, we'll bring it back and I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve staff's recommendation.
Got a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Got a motion by Councilmember Barreau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Brendler, to approve the staff recommendation, which is to adopt the draft resolution of intent to amend the contract, and secondly, to introduce for first reading by title only the draft ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, authorizing an amendment to the contract between the City Council and the Board of Administration of CalPERS. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler?
Yes.
And Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Next item on the agenda is council announcements and reports. And the first thing I would like to do is Ann Ketcherside mentioned it, public comment. She mentioned the passing away of one of the leaders of the community, Wendy Scalise. She passed away several weeks ago of leukemia. And I would like if we would all stand and have a moment of silence on her memory. Thank you. Next is council announcements and reports, and there was one question to Mayor Pro Tem Brendler about campaign finance meeting.
Yes, I did in fact attend a Clean Money, Clean Cities conference that dealt with the local campaign finance reform last week, and this particular conference was primarily geared toward the public funding of campaigns, which from my perspective probably wouldn't be well received by our community and would ultimately, I believe, put additional stressors on our general fund. Although they did touch on a reductive approach on campaign finance reform, it was not discussed in detail. However, I certainly myself plan to advocate for an ordinance similar to the one San Luis Obispo has, in which we do have.
Yes. I'd just like to add a little bit more about Wendy. She really had a lot of heart. She would actually have transfusions before she came to the council meetings, and she never let on about her illness. She really brought a lot of life's experience to the council, a lot of expertise, and she's surely going to be missed, so I'm very, very sorry about the whole situation. Also, in regards to the Stop Walmart people, I would just encourage everybody out there to go into a Super Walmart, talk to the associates. There's 137 million people shop at Walmart every week in the United States, and make your own decisions. You know, there's a lot of negative stuff put out there and a lot of positive stuff, and I would certainly make your own decisions. And the other thing is, personally, I hope it comes to a vote of the people, and we can, you know, get this issue off the table, and whichever way it goes, I'll support that.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Yes, I had one other comment. I also attended a California Summit for Safe Communities. However, in anticipation of a long night tonight and in respect for the many people that I presume are going to be speaking, I will discuss that perhaps at the next council meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Burrow?
I just wanted to follow up on one of the speakers mentioned. They were interested in when we're going to discuss campaign reform, and I was wondering if Mr. McKinney has an approximate date so the public is aware.
We do not have an approximate date. However, it is one of the council's identified top six priorities, and so we will be dealing with the campaign reform issue and bring it back in a staff report. And the city attorney is drafting the staff report right now.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the consent calendar. There are six items on the consent calendar: the January 2007 investment report, final map on West Front, final map on 7095 El Camino Real, temporary road closure Sweetheart Stroll, temporary road closure Sunken Gardens, yard sales, and the Veterans Memorial Project. So anyone on the council that wants to pull one of those items?
Item number six.
Okay, that's the memorial project. Is there anyone in the public who wants to pull an item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council and ask for a motion on items one through five.
So moved.
So do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay, second by Mayor Pro Tem Brenner. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenner?
Yes.
And Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Let me ask for a show of hands or how many people. So what happens is we have a consent calendar. Typically, the things on the consent calendar are non-controversial and are passed with one motion. That did not happen here. The item was pulled off the consent calendar, so now it will be considered as a regular agenda item. So each of you will have it at 5 minutes to speak on the item. How many wish to speak on the Veterans Memorial Project?
The Veterans Memorial, some type of Veterans Memorial be placed on the agenda, and of course my thinking was it would be right at the Veterans Memorial Building where the flagpole is. And so I was very supportive of this, and it was quite a nice night when people from the Vietnam era and also World War II era come together the same night about a year and a half ago, as I recall, and stated that they wanted some sort of a veterans memorial. And in regards to the bricks, you know, they're selling bricks, and my Uncle Harry was shot up pretty good in World War II, and my other uncle was an officer in World War II, and I wanted to have a brick for them plus for my family. So I kicked in $500 right off the bat and very excited about this. As far as the bronze and so on, I had nothing to do with that. I did go to some of their meetings early on, and I did not go to any of the Recreation Commission meetings or any of those types because I knew that I was going to have to vote on it sooner or later. But it's a long time coming. Tommy Lawrence went to school with...
Just ex parte.
Excuse me. Well, I'm just telling you, ex parte, I had a good friend that was killed, and his name's going to go on that. So thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Councilman Clay and I have been involved with this project since its inception. I had a couple of classmates from my high school, a class of 68, Mary and Rick Chastain, came to me when approximately a year and a half ago, and we were looking for an opportunity to recognize those who had lost their life from our area during the Vietnam War. And originally, I had talked with the city. We looked into getting a couple of the benches in Sunken Gardens and putting plaques on those to recognize those individuals. In parallel to that, a number of World War II veterans were talking with Councilman Clay about wanting to recognize men and women who had served in different time periods. So Councilmember Clay and I actually got together and looked for an opportunity to bring all military personnel and families together in our community and all generations to look of a way that we could honor those who have served from our community. And through that, we did have an initial committee had come together, and I'd asked actually Colonel Hatch to join in on that, and he was later voted to be the chairperson of this committee. And as Councilmember Clay said, we both were involved supporting this project from the beginning. And I think I missed one meeting, and so they nominated me to be chair of the fundraising committee. That's what happens if you miss a meeting. So I am, as many organizations in the community, I'm active with this, and I also have been, I know and actually have purchased art from a number of the folks involved with the committee that reviewed this, as well as Mr. Greenaway, longtime resident of Atascadero, and encouraged him to participate in this. I did ask our city attorney to review.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenner.
Yes, I attended that meeting as well. I also have visited the proposed project site. I've had some brief conversations with the Veterans Committee members, Colonel Hatch in particular, the artist, Mark Greenaway, and Art Committee members, Kathy Baker, who is my neighbor, and Joe Ramirez.
Thank you. Councilmember Burrow?
I haven't gone to any of the meetings, so I did meet with Mark Greenaway to have a look at the sculpture, because I couldn't visualize it without seeing it. So I did go to his studio and talk to him for maybe about 45 minutes. And I just wanted to mention the reason I pulled the item from the consent calendar is because I have received numerous emails of concern about the artwork, and I felt it deserved a full public hearing.
Thank you. Well, that we'll have a staff report, please. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mayor Luna, members of the City Council. The first thing I want to mention is why the item is on the consent calendar. And as I mentioned in the first line of my staff report in your packet, it's because the public arts policy, which we are trying to adhere to, says that if we get a positive recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Commission, that the proposed project would proceed to the City Council on the consent calendar. So that's the reason that has been done. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have done it under the circumstances that I know to be the case today. With that, I'd like to point out that one of the things that I found in working through the process with the Veterans Committee, with the Parks and Recreation Commission, and the ad hoc committee that worked on finding a location for the proposed memorial is that throughout there seems to be a theme in the community that there is strong support for a memorial to honor our veterans. And I think some of the things that we may have heard about either the memorial itself or the location, that those issues have been where there have been some differences of opinion, but there seems to be no difference of opinion when it comes to the willingness of the people in the community to honor our veterans and have a memorial to do so. And I would also like to take a moment to thank the Veterans Committee, particularly Colonel Bill Hatch and his wife Ann, artist Mark Greenaway, who put many, many hours into this up to this point. I'm going to walk the council through the steps that we've gone through to get to this point tonight, and there have been many hours put in by many people, and I want to express my appreciation to all the citizens that have worked on this memorial project. Also, I'd like to draw your attention tonight to two pieces of correspondence that have been placed on your dais this evening before you. The first is a sheet called Faces of Freedom, and this was actually written by artist Mark Greenaway. And Mark Greenaway was really explaining really his perspective on the sculpture. And so I think you'll find that very informative as to how he arrived at the sculpture that you will see in just a few minutes. The other piece of correspondence is a letter dated today to City Manager Wade McKinney from Colonel Bill Hatch. And that parking lot kind of wraps around in sort of an L shape, and I have an aerial to show that in just a second, around the open soil that we have here right now. And so I'll show you. This is a slide of our adopted Lake Park master plan, and I think you can see this corner really well. This is the Babe Ruth Field that I just mentioned. This is Portola Road and Highway 41. This is the parking lot that is sort of an L shape there that's existing. And then this area here is what we had called, when we put together the master plan in 2001, the Great Lawn, which was going to be turf with some trees planted around. In the last slide I showed, there's already some trees that have been planted. One of the things that occurs in this master plan is that there we bring pedestrians across the street, across Portola, across 41, to this corner, and then there's a path that goes over here to the parking lot in the Babe Ruth Field, and then there's a path that proceeds down here and down to the parking lot and around. One of the things you may have noticed recently on this corner is that the California Conservation Corps are in the process of building a trail right along here, just as it's shown in the master plan, as part of the trail the city council approved some months ago. And so that's in progress right now. And so we'll have a little Mo strip which borders that trail, and then it'll come down and connect to the trail and go right into the lake park, and then people can make the loop around the lake for that walking trail. Where the memorial is proposed is right in this location, and I'll show you that. This drawing was provided to city staff today, and you can see the parking lot once again. Here's the ball field, 41 in Portola. There's the existing parking lot. The memorial is proposed for this little elbow area, right tucked right in here near the parking lot. And then it does show a walkway. However, that walkway is not going to be recommended by city staff because we do have that path that I mentioned was being installed that'll come around here. So I know the Veterans Committee will work with us in terms of modifying this. In fact, I believe if somebody feels another location is better, if that's the will of the council, that the Veterans Committee can work with the city regarding some of the details of the memorial. This is not set in stone, so to speak. With that, I'd like to just kind of walk you through the timeline of how we got to the meeting this evening. In September on the 12th, the Veterans Committee introduced the project to the City Council. You may have remembered attending that meeting, and the council then at that meeting agendized the project for a joint meeting between the Parks and Recreation Commission and the City Council. And that meeting took place in September on the 26th, where both the City Council and the Parks and Recreation Commission learned about the project a little bit, and the project was referred to the Parks and Recreation Commission for evaluation and to conduct the public review process on the project. Then, particularly about the location that was being considered at that time, which was the Sunken Gardens in front of the historic City Hall. There were a lot of people who had some concerns about that, a number of organized groups such as Main Street, the Historical Society, the Chamber, different groups had said they would like to look at other alternative locations to the Sunken Gardens for the memorial. And so there was an ad hoc committee formed by the Parks and Recreation Commission, and they met, and they looked, and I attended that meeting myself, and I have to say that was one of the best public meetings I've ever attended. We had a diverse group of people at the meetings that represented different organizations in the city, and we went through probably a dozen potential locations where the Veterans Memorial could be located. I mean, we looked at the Armory, Trafficway Park, which is now Colony Park. We looked at areas around the historic city administration building. We looked at all of the different locations that were proposed for Sunken Gardens. We looked at an area in front of the Chamber of Commerce. We looked at an area down by 41 and the 101 freeway where there's going to be some landscaping when the 101 interchange project is finished. And we also looked at the corner of Portola and Highway 41, and there may have been a couple of other locations I forgot to mention. But it was unanimous by everybody on this ad hoc committee that the corner of Highway 41 and Portola at the Lake Park be recommended for the location. And this proposed location at 41 and Portola was accepted by the Veterans Committee. They agreed that they would feel that that would be an appropriate place for a veterans memorial. Then in December on the 21st, per council policy, and I have to mention that I didn't discover this existing council policy on the arts in public places until a couple of weeks into this, because there was an original arts in public places policy adopted in 1997. It was used about that time to install a sculpture by artist John Olt in the Charles Paddock Zoo, and then the policy was never used again and essentially forgotten about. And I think most of us that were involved with that policy at the time didn't remember that it had been passed, and certainly it wasn't used in the 10 years or so that since it was approved by the council at that time. Once we did realize we had a policy, the commission, the Parks and Recreation Commission, appointed a 5-member arts committee to review the project per the policy and return a recommendation to the commission. Barbie Boots, a member of the commission, was a non-voting chair of that committee, and they also had an alternate who was a non-voting member who sat in on the meetings as well, Mrs. Baker. The committee met to consider the project and voted 4-1 to reject the project as proposed, and essentially suggested another process, which I've outlined in your council report tonight, about another process that they suggested be undertaken to consider the memorial. Then in February, on the 8th, the Arts Committee Commission, and then what I'd like to do is invite Colonel Hatch to address the City Council at this point and just give you an overview of the project. He's got some slides. This evening, they were able to bring a scale model, which is located here on the table in front of the City Council, as well as an actual bronze of model of the sculpture and a little workup of the memorial. So with that, Mayor, with your permission, I'll turn it over to Colonel Hatch.
Colonel Hatch.
I'm Colonel Bill Hatch of Atascadero, and I was given the privilege to chair this Atascadero Veterans Memorial Project. Before I speak to you tonight, I'd just like to recognize all the veterans in this room by standing up. Would you please stand up? Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you for your service, and especially a lot of our active guard that are here in the front row. They've had a long day, and I know some of them are even having to drive down home to Santa Maria tonight. So if they get up, they've got to go home and take care of their families. But thanks for all you do, and thanks for your commitment to our country. The Veterans Memorial started about a year ago, and it was a project brought together by, mentioned earlier by Councilman Clay and Councilman O'Malley. And our goal was to erect a lasting tribute that could recognize all our veterans, and especially those Atascadarians who had served our nation and given their lives both in peacetime and war. So this was the purpose that brought us together. We've always wanted to build a world-class memorial, and we've reached for high goals here. And with our artwork, anybody can put up a wall. There's a lot of walls out there. We've looked at 30 or 40 of them, pictures throughout the country. But we wanted to add a special touch with the artwork and Mr. Mark Greenaway and with the statue, because it kind of separates this memorial from other memorials that you'll see out there. We want this to be a magnet for the Central Coast. We want people from all over the country, all over California, to come here and come visit Atascadero and see what we've done and see how we pay honor to our veterans. All privately funded. That's why we thought having our own artist made sense. We were paying for it. We wanted to choose our artist. This was a veterans memorial designed by veterans for veterans. Initial goal was to have this completed by Memorial Day this year, 2007. But as we went through the process and we have honored the city's way of approving such a project, you can see we're off our timeline by about a year. But we'd like to dedicate this in May of 2008. Next slide. As I said before, we looked at everything. We tried to look at all designs, take the good from everything, and make one absolutely magnificent memorial. And we wanted a homegrown artist in Mark Greenaway. And we felt he had the credentials and the resume and the talent to represent our veterans. So we chose Mark Greenaway as our artist. This is the artist concept, and I know there's been a lot of discussion about the memorial looked like it was designed by a committee or the artwork was designed by a committee. The bronze that you see in front of you is Mark Greenaway's inspiration and perspiration. We didn't tell him what to put in it. We didn't tell him, you know, had to have a flag or had to have an eagle. This was his design, and we honored that. Three components of our memorial: the Faces of Freedom, which is the bronze, the Heroes Wall, which are the granite walls, which will have the names inscribed of our heroes from Atascadero, and of course the Brick Pathway to Freedom, which will be selling bricks to the community to raise funds. This is the Faces of Freedom statue. And you can see there the caricatures of soldiers and sailors, airmen, Marines that date from World War I, World War II, Korea, a wounded soldier from Vietnam being treated by a soldier from Desert Storm, joined at a hip by a Marine or soldier out front from today's global war on terror. So we kind of transcended the entire history of Atascadero by the wars that our good citizens have participated in and sacrificed so greatly for preserving freedoms of this country. That's the reverse side, and you can see the eagle emblazoned on an American flag. I talked briefly to all of this. I don't need to go over it again. But the sculpture is a history timeline, and it is who we are as a community from 1913 until the present day. That's the Faces of Freedom. Heroes Wall, black granite wall with nine sections, will have the names inscribed from each of the wars of those who gave their lives, and those who may have given their lives not actually in combat but in peacetime in some kind of training mission. So, you know, some folks have said, hey, we're glorifying war. Well, no, we're looking at military members who lost their lives in non-combat-related action or perhaps in peacetime between a war, but they're from Atascadero. And, of course, we'll have the flags of the different services prominently displayed over the top of the wall. And I think, I know the Veterans of Foreign Wars said we'd take care of the flags. Don't worry about that. And I can tell you from the Veterans Committee, we'll take care of the maintenance of it. We grew up doing police call in the Army. We'll continue to do police call, and we'll take care of that memorial site today from Jeff Van den Eyck. This is a road ahead. We're here to get approval. Without approval, we can't even begin our structural engineering plans, permitting process. We got to start fundraising. You really can't go full bore on fundraising until you have an approved memorial. We're working with Atascadero Main Street to create a web page and link on the city's website. And right now, Main Street is offered to assist with official county agency for donations. Memorials designed by veterans for veterans, and it's not just an idea of one person. It's a dream of many folks in this community, and I think a lot of folks are here tonight to demonstrate their support for the memorial. and we need the support from City Council. So in closing tonight, we're here to ask the City Council to approve a memorial for our veterans. But it goes well beyond bricks, mortar, and bronze. The material things in life really don't matter. It's what's in the soul that counts. This memorial will become the heartbeat of our city, what defines us as a people. Do we recognize artwork or the courage and sacrifice of the veterans who gave their last measure of devotion to a free country? Do we argue over trash can mowed lawns and tattered flags, or honor the brave souls whose spirit is still alive in this city? I ask that we rise above this internal strife and welcome the Veterans Memorial as a gift to a grateful city. Our brave veterans died so that we could live our lives free from tyranny, terrorism, and fear. I don't mourn the deaths of these brave soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, but I thank God that such men and women have lived. I've always felt we should give roses to the living. It's a motto and a tenet I work by with my men and women. But most of the veterans whose names will honor the walls of the memorial died young before we could say thank you. This Veterans Memorial is about our expression of gratitude, long overdue, from a caring community. When our troops shipped off to war, we asked them to do their duty. I asked the City Council to do its duty and lead this community in honoring the veterans and approve this memorial. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel Hatch. Please, please. We want to hear from everybody, and there will be people in the audience who will not speak if they are intimidated by applause or heckling or whatever. So if you could just listen and hold back your emotions. Councilmember Clay?
Yes, thank you, George. And thank you, Colonel Hatch. You did a wonderful job. I'd like to also recognize Leroy Dodge. He's an old-timer here. And at your discretion, stand up that supports the memorial, or if they're standing, raise their hand, and no clapping. Would that be all right?
I think that's fine. Everybody in support of the memorial, please raise your hand.
Or stand. How about
stand? Standing? And if you would sit.
Thank you very much, George.
Everybody opposed? Yeah, that's part of the problem with doing this. Yeah. Just honoring a request of a council member. Anyone else on the council want to make a comment? Council Member O'Malley.
Oh, no.
I have a couple comments to make. First of all, you have that PowerPoint? I have received a number of emails, and I want to go through some things that I'll probably, hopefully will preempt discussion on certain things. Okay, first of all, this is a private proposal to put a veterans memorial on city-owned parkland. So it is not up to the city to decide on the artist, as Colonel Hatch said, or for us to start the process all over again unless the city wants to do its own veterans memorial. Secondly, I have at one time or another heard almost everybody in the community, but especially those people on the council, say they are in favor of a veterans memorial. And the statue seems to be, from the emails and comments that I've heard, phone calls, the statue seems to be the controversial part of the project. The layout, maintenance, and landscaping are issues that, until today, I didn't have, for example, Jeff von Eickhoff's
layout, and I didn't have the letter from Colonel Hatch speaking about taking responsibility, incorporating and taking responsibility for the maintenance. So that's really not an issue at this particular point for me. So before we go to public comment, I want to say one other thing. And I wrote it out because it is kind of sensitive. Atascadero is blessed with a substantial arts community that includes Mark Greenaway and the members of the Arts Committee that peer-reviewed his work. Artists are generally private and sensitive people. I'm a mathematician. I consider myself an artist. And I'm a very sensitive and private person. The criticism that has been leveled against both the committee and Mr. Greenaway does not serve the citizens of Atascadero well. An existing policy was not followed, and the project was first heard before the Parks and Recreation Commission and the council. The input of the committee was but an afterthought. What artists will now come forward with their work or sit on a committee when they think that the same fate might befall them? They are owed an apology. And I hereby apologize to both Mr. Greenaway.
1959 to 1965. I am here at the request of Colonel Hatch, who asked that all of us who care show up today to support the Veteran Memorial, and I am here to show my support, number one. But I would like to make a few points. I support a Veterans Memorial. I am not part of any minority group that is trying to undermine this effort. I'm not conspiring with anyone. In fact, I'm alone, really alone. I think most everyone would agree and has already agreed that this memorial should happen. And that's my first thought. The second thought is I believe that Atascadero Park is a perfect place for it, as I'm sure everybody else does too. Three, I believe that the artist, Mark Greenaway, who I've not met yet, but I believe he's the right guy for the job. He has done some wonderful pieces, has a great portfolio, and has credentials. We have been pretty hard on this guy. I think the press, he's got a lot of kind of negative press, and I personally would like to apologize for him for anything that I've said to that was taken wrong. But I do think I have the right, I'm not apologizing for critiquing his work, but for all of the adverse publicity it has caused him, it has ended up so public, I had no idea, and that really wasn't necessary. If you agree with the above three points, that there is the need and there is the location and the artist is right, then this does not become an issue of patriotism, which I think it's been pushed out there, and that is really irritating to me because I'm very patriotic. But it's an issue of whether the proposed sculpture is good enough to be finalized without change. The decision then today is to accept or not to accept the current proposed sculpture as it is, and if not, to set up a process to continue to develop. I don't think it should be accepted the way it is because it's too busy, it's too loud, it's trying to say too much with eagles and flags and ready rifles. It is like it's like a giant action figure. It makes me want to join the Army, and I'm too old for that. It is a good sculpture. I believe it's just in the wrong place. What I think more appropriate would be a sculpture. Now, I'm not talking about the panels or the flags. I think it's beautifully done. I'm talking about the sculpture. I think it's too active. What I would think more appropriate would be a sculpture that would allow quietness, meditation, prayer, an opportunity to give thanks to our veterans. A sculpture with less show and more grace. If the council agreed with me, I think the committee needs to go back and select 2 to 3 experts that they can represent the city in helping the artist develop his sculpture. He and the acquired knowledge, ask your local Cal Poly or Cuesta art professor, and I'm sure they'll agree. The business of developing this memorial is like making a movie. You have a producer, director, and an actor, or in this case, artist. The producers are the memorial committee being in charge of costs. The director is the artist panel. They help the artist with criticism, alternative ideas, and encouragement. And the final is the artist himself, Mark Greenaway, who...
Please wrap up.
Okay. He's a pro. He should be used to this process. That's all I have to say. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
My name is Steve LaSalle. I'm a resident of Atascadero. I sat on the five-member Arts and Public Commission, and the vote was 4-2-1 to reject it based upon artistic excellence. We had another vote, which I hope that you received, and that was that we were in full support of a memorial. I note that the press didn't seem to take that up too much. This is obviously going to be a very drawn-out, debated issue tonight. And so the only thing that I want to present in the next couple of minutes, although I'd like to talk about many, many different things, the one thing that I would like to propose, or at least to have you entertain, I'm almost certain that the most famous, the most endeared memorial in the United States is the Vietnam Memorial in D.C. And almost every one of you have a visual picture of that. Perhaps many of you have visited. However, when you think of it as just a long wall with 58,000 names on it. You don't think of Frederick Hart's sculpture, which is a few hundred feet from it. It is a bronze piece of three soldiers. Very few of you even know about it. That is the judgment of time. In 1982, more or less, the wall was installed. There was high controversy about that, somewhat like today. A group demanded and also installed 2 years later Frederick Hart, who was a good sculptor, nationally known, and yet 20 years later, 25 years later, no one even thinks about it when you talk about the Vietnam Memorial. I think that much of this controversy could be erased if we dealt with Frederick Hart's sculpture in the same manner that we could deal with this, that we have a wall. I don't think there's one person here that is not for a memorial.
Thank you, Mr. Saul.
Let's know the hardships these men and women have endured on our behalf. This is a memorial to honor them. It is not a piece of art for the sake of having art. This memorial is about our veterans. It is not about art, and it is not about war. Let us honor our veterans as they have so selflessly honored us with their service by supporting their choice in a memorial. Please accept this memorial gift to the city of Atascadero and allow it to be placed at the corner of Highway 41 and Portola Road for all to enjoy and to remember those who helped give us our freedoms we have today. A tribute such as this is long overdue in our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Extra.
My name is Carlos Morales. This is my wife, Leslie Axtell. The backbone, without her, I don't know what I'd do. I personally feel that we've gone out of the real scope of the thing here, which is the memorial. The memorial is for the veterans. This is not about art. This is about the veterans. The veterans chose the structure. This is what they want. This is what we want. This is what we feel we should have. If you want to see art, go to a museum. This is the memorial for veterans. And I find it real hard to accept the fact that there's people out there, no names will be put on the table here, but saying that this is a war memorial, and that's very upsetting, because I don't like war. None of us like war. We don't want to go to war, but we have to. We wear the uniform. We have to go. This is not a war memorial. This is a veterans memorial. I hold here 7 envelopes of names and faces of how they died in Iraq. And with the acceptance of Colonel Hatch, I would like to set it next to the sculpture. This is the faces of freedom right here. If you want to see faces of the soldiers that gave their ultimate, their sacrifice, their lives for our freedom to be here, to enjoy, please feel free to look at this. This is not a war memorial. This is a veterans memorial. Freedom. Faces of freedom.
Thank you, Mr. Morales. Yeah, please feel free to put it on the table.
Maureen Lubers, presently at Paso Robles, born in General Hospital San Luis Obispo, lived in Atascadero for umpteen years. I have a picture here of my cousin, Francis C. Sullivan. He taught here in the grammar school, joined the Marines, and was lost over Guadalcanal. I have seen the sculpture firsthand. I have touched it. I love it. I am not an artist. I'm here to support it in his behalf. I have a picture of my husband, Roy Lubers, who was in the service for 20 years, spent the war in the South Pacific. I'm here because I, in my heart, know he would cherish that sculpture, because it's not showing us one sailor from one war. One's
to the design of the memorial as rendered by Mark Greenaway, and I would strongly support the opinion of the Public Arts Committee that rejected the proposed design. 4 of the 5 members of the commissions, they're all artists, but 4 of the 5 members were rejected the design. My opinion regarding the design is totally unrelated to whether or not we have a memorial honoring those who served our country in the military. I'm really upset that a member of the Memorial Committee suggested this small but vocal minority seemed determined to defeat the effort by attacking the artwork and the artist. As a member of this so-called small but vocal minority, let me make it perfectly clear that I do not, repeat, do not oppose a memorial in honor of our veterans. My first husband served in Germany in the Second World War. My second husband and my brother both served in Korea during the hostilities there. I think that it is really unfortunate the issue of design should be linked to recognition of our veterans. Maybe we should all set aside our emotions and view this issue logically. Perhaps we could develop a design that would be acceptable to all, because we all want to honor our veterans, those who have served their country so well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brazier.
I'm Sally Tipman, artist and Atascadero resident. I certainly agree with Steve LaSalle and his admiration, along with so many other people across the world, of the Maya Lin's beautiful Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. She was awarded that commission after, I believe, a worldwide competition to design the piece. She was a student at Yale University at the time and in her early 20s. She created a beautiful piece, and it's an inspiration for what we would like to see done here. I feel strongly, my sympathies, my heart is with the veterans. want to honor them, but I want to honor them with our best. And I want to see a really wonderful sculpture designed, and I trust that we can do that. As Martyr Peluso, executive director of the San Luis Obispo Arts Council, pointed out in her March 13th letter to the Tribune, the proposed sculpture should have been chosen in a fair and equitable manner through the Atascadero Art in Public Places policy that was established 9 years ago. Unquote. I, as well as many thousands of patriotic people in this county who care deeply about the quality of the artwork that is to honor the veterans, oppose this sculpture. I implore you and the other city council members, Mayor Luna, and all of you, to follow the city policy that was established and not allow the permanent installation of an unacceptable sculpture.
Compelling. It makes you think about what you're looking at. It makes you want to turn away from it a little bit because you realize the horrors of war. Those people that have been there can recognize it right off. People that haven't been there look at it, and they can still recognize it. Mark Greenaway's design is very reflective, dramatic. It's something that will be an honor to the Atascadero City. War is not about art. This memorial and Mark's bronze statue will bring reflection for people as they visit. I'm proud of it, and I'll be glad to see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gober.
Good evening. My name is Dominic Simonelli, Mayor, Council. I'm a resident of the Paso Robles, but I'm a member of the post here in Atascadero, the Veterans Post. I'm a retired Navy chaplain. I was in the Marine Corps, 63 to 67, and I retired in 96 with 21 years of active duty service. I was in Vietnam, and when I got back from Vietnam in 66 and got out of the Marine Corps as a sergeant, and took me 20 years to go to the wall in Vietnam into Washington, D.C. I never wanted to go to that wall, but I did go to the wall, and it had value to me. Then when I came back on active duty as a chaplain, and when I received orders to Quantico, Virginia, as a chaplain there, and I stood outside and looked at that memorial of the raising of the Iwo Jima flag and realized that symbols, and that we're people of symbols, but symbols also participate in what they symbolize. And the identification with the people in that statue was therapeutic for me. It helped me to relate, and I believe this statue is something that veterans can participate in as well as feel the transcendence that comes from the faces of freedom, that they can see in this statue friends that they've lost. And when I went to the wall and saw the names, it was different. But when you look at a face, it's not just a name, it's not just a number, it's people. And the language of relationship is relevant. And this statue is relevant because it speaks of a relationship and it helps the veterans participate in what's being symbolized. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simonelli.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tim Haley. I'm with the Marine Corps League Detachment 680. And as a member of that detachment, I'm a proud member of our Honor Guard. And as a member of the Honor Guard, since our inception, we have participated in over 500 funerals honoring our veterans throughout the county. And as part of that, I've taken it on as my responsibility to honor those who have served a soldier's heart. Many definitions abound to the meaning of war and of combat. And I'll skip all of those for now, but I'll say that there's a lot of 19- to 20-year-olds who have gone before, who are out there now, who are making daily life and death decisions. A veteran knows the importance of the mission. In spite of the fear, the hardship, and the enormous suffering, you put your best foot forward and keep going. That's what a veteran is to me. And as a veteran, it's our responsibility now to support those who we regard as the heroes of our service. I can look around this room and there's a lot of highly decorated people in this room, but they don't think of themselves as heroes. The heroes are the guys who did not come home, the men and women who gave their lives. And as veterans, it's our duty, our responsibility to honor those people and ensure that they get the recognition that they so deserve. In saying all that, I implore you, I urge you to support this monument. The first time I saw this, it told me a story. It was a lesson in history. I'm sorry if somebody else doesn't get it, but I sure do. I was that which others did not want to be. I went where others failed to go and did what others failed to do. I asked nothing from those who gave nothing and reluctantly accepted the thought of eternal loneliness should I fail. I've seen the face of terror, felt the stinging cold of fear, and enjoyed the sweet taste of moments of love. I've cried pain and hope, but most of all, I've lived in times others would say were best forgotten. At least someday I'll be able to say that I was proud. Proud of what I once was and always will be. A veteran and a United States Marine.
Thank you, Mr. Haley.
Good evening, members of the council, ladies and gentlemen, citizenry here. My name is Joe Ramirez. Been here in Atascadero since 1971. I'm still a practicing artist, and I make my living by taking photographs. I was a member of the ad hoc committee. I was that sole dissenting voice, and trust me, it wasn't really an easy thing because art is definitely in the eye of the beholder. It's an individual piece and has to be reviewed and understood by, I think, just an average person. And I have to look at a piece of art knowing that all art is not for everybody, nor is it for every artist. When I looked at this here, I found that my responsibility at that committee was not to judge it against another piece of art. We didn't have another piece to compare it with. It's not a selection process. I've been there before where I've sat on as a judge, selecting fine art and fine photography around the United States. Been there. This is not our case. I think basically it was to accept it as a professional piece. Will it get the job done? And I saw it definitely pass that criteria. I saw something more in it. I do like the piece of art. I think it's a very compelling piece. I think it's very different. I've seen a lot of war memorials. I spent several days at a time looking at a very interesting memorial in Weed, California. Also painted the artist himself and photographed him. all pieces, I think, of that I'm trying to fulfill the obligation of dragging the flag along, the eagle, to me, represents the American values, which I see right now as very appropriate because American values are being attacked all over the world right now. Right, wrong, or otherwise, whether or not, we brought some of this attack on ourselves, the soldier did not, but he's doing his job. I see that happening right there, and I see that as an artist's job to go ahead and present that, and it's being done very well. And along with it, I see it almost the spirits and all the different faces from the other different wars. I saw right away how appropriate he was doing under the guidance there or protecting the reputation of these other faces. I'm not quite sure exactly which it is that the artist was trying to say, but to me it all worked very well together. I see this more there was more of a responsibility being put on the shoulders of these soldiers in this sculpture than merely saving themselves or protecting one another, the man guarding the flank. They're protecting the values of right now that are being under attack. And I think that is a statement of the times. So I find it very appropriate. I'm very sad as an artist to see there be so much controversy over this because, as I say, in my humble opinion, my job was just to decide, did it meet a level of professionalism to go ahead and erect it right here? Everything else, I think, is up to the committee here. And that's all I had to say. I wanted to share what I was thinking when I passed judgment on it. It's as a dissenting member of that ad hoc committee. And with that, I'll answer any questions anybody might have.
Thank you, Mr. Ramirez.
Good evening again. I'm Bill Arkfeld from the Artery, and I would like to thank Mayor Luna for his comments at the beginning of this public comment session that closely reflects my view as well. I do believe we owe an apology to the artists involved, Mark Greenaway and all the artists on the committee. I'm very concerned that the way this has gone down is going to really create a major setback for public art in our community. We have lots of redevelopment going on. We really need public art badly. And if we don't treat our artists with respect, no one's going to step forward to do this job. The job of critiquing art is not easy. It takes years and years of training and practice to be good at critiquing things. And I think we need to honor that and be careful, you know, what decision we make today, and be thoughtful about that. So I am in support of taking at least a small step back and making sure we're making a good decision here before we proceed. I support the memorial. I think it will be a great addition to our community. It'll help my business. I will buy a brick for the memorial. And with that said, I just hope that in the end result of all of this, our artists feel that they were respected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arkfeld.
Mayor Luna, City Council members, staff. My name is John Jardine, and I reside at Santa Margarita Lake. I come from a long line of veterans. My grandfather served in World War I in the Army. My dad, World War II in the Navy, and I'm a Vietnam vet, served in the Navy. And my son served in the Army during the Desert Storm. All of us volunteered because that's what we do. And it took me years to go to the wall. And at the wall memorials, I had the honor and privilege that after returning from Vietnam to be part of the honor guard for the Navy. And I traveled throughout California burying a lot of guys. And I've seen other memorials, different places. But this one is the one that moves me the most. And there's a reason for that, because it shows real people during times of real strife and taking care of one another. And that's what America is about, as far as I'm concerned, taking care of one another. We kind of lost those values somewhere along the line. I don't know. I'm pretty much a redneck cowboy, and my values are that way. And America used to be that way. And this statue is going to bring a lot of people to our county, a lot of people to Tascadero. Because once they see what this statue is, you're going to have veterans, you're going to have people that served in the war, bringing their kids and their grandkids to see this statue. There's all kinds of statues throughout the United States, and I've seen quite a few of them. But this one is going to make a major impact. There'll be a reflecting pool. There's some other things for people to sit down and just can reflect on people that are no longer here. Families will be able to do some healing because of this. And not everybody can go to the wall in Washington, D.C. And there was a traveling wall. That was nice, too. But this is something that's going to put our city on the map really well. I honest to God believe that. Because anybody takes a close look at that and is not moved, check your pulse, folks. There's something wrong. All right. And I'm sorry I'm emotional. No, I'm not either. I'm not sorry I'm emotional, because that's just how I am. But I want to thank you for letting me stand here and talk this evening about this memorial. And I hope you'll do the right thing as far as I'm concerned, and definitely prove it just as it is and put it where it needs to be put. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jardine.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my neighbors. My name is Chuck Ward. I live at 8502 El Corte Road. I'm a former Marine and a very, very proud member of this city's Veterans Memorial Committee. Now, we all know that there are a few members of this community and at least one outside the community that are not exactly enthusiastic about this wonderful Veterans Memorial. For some, as you heard tonight, they simply don't like the design. For others, there may be some deep-seated, long-held convictions about war in general, maybe issues of gun control or others. These are good people. These are our neighbors. And I'm sure that they're all well-intentioned, at least hopefully most of them. But it is my hope that in time, they will, like others, come to realize that this wonderful memorial is not a monument to the glorification of war. As many of our combat veterans will tell you, in this room and many more outside, war is just simply terrible. Simply stated, this is a memorial to be erected by this city to remember and honor those that have died in the service of our country who came from this community. A few weeks back, I stood at this lectern and spoke before him on some veteran's memorial in his hometown. I see a medical corpsman trying to save the life of a fallen comrade. To me, he's symbolic of all those in the medical community that have served in combat, their only weapon, a medical kit on their hip. And yes, many of those were themselves conscientious objectors. I see embossed on the American flag the image of many, many fallen heroes from many wars. They died horrible lives, horrible deaths in foreign lands, places forgotten by time, but I can assure you not forgotten by their families, and hopefully not forgotten by a grateful community. There are few things in life more terrible or worse than losing a son, a daughter, or husband or wife in war. But I can only think of one thing that's almost as bad, and that is if that loss is not remembered, long forgotten, and never honored by that veterans community. This wonderful memorial, this magnificent statue, once erected, will ensure that that will never happen in this community.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Honorable Council, my name is Ernie Porter.
Far away?
Yeah,
you got to pull it down.
My name is Ernie Porter, Honorable Counsel. I've lived in Tuscadero all my life, and I approve entirely of that memorial because those fellows out there, I remember, were me. I saw my comrades killed right in front of me. I was very lucky to be the one of them to survive. And I saw how horrible war really is. And this memorial represents what it is, and not something fine and fancy. But I would remember that, I know his name real well, but won't come up when I want it. The man who carved that and made those statues is a real artist. And he's making it closer to what it really was than anyone else, that any other ones I've seen. Seeing somebody important riding on a horse and standing on a statue or something like that, like some of them, really meaningless to those who really fought and survived. And I was a survivor, of course. And I saw that's closer to reality. I guess they chopped it up because they needed steel in World War II. And so this is our second memorial. And I'm certainly glad that the City Council has decided to have it finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Thank you.
My name is Sonia Serra. I'm a resident of Atascadero. And I believe I get it, This is not an art appreciation project or fine arts class. This is a veterans project. Someone said that the sculpture appears busy. If it does, it's busy recognizing and honoring our veterans who paid the cost for our freedoms that we enjoy today. It gives a face to those men and women that died at different times in our history. And I want to express my appreciation as a member of the community to those who worked on the different committees and outside of the committees to make this project come forward, and I urge the council to support it as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sarah.
I am Lauren Cabrera, Tascadero resident, honor mayor and city council member and staff. I have already sent you an email with my name and others on it regarding our concerns, so I will not be repeating it. But what I am really concerned in and like to reemphasize is the process that was followed to select art, because we don't seem to have a proper policy in place that could have been followed when this first began. And as was noted by one of the staff members, when a policy was found, it was tried to put it in the middle of the process of developing this project, and also was noted that back in November, not many citizens of Atascadero were aware this project was occurring, and that to me was something that should have been handled a little easier with everyone having knowledge by having a policy to follow. I'm concerned with the protocol of the project and the process, and also a precedent that is being set that if you're private, you can fund a project on city council land, and I don't think we need to pursue this until we have a policy, and I would hope that you would put a hold on this project till all the processes and procedures are placed in effect, and that we need to have a procedure for requesting proposals from the art community that has an opportunity to apply to make a presentation on their interpretation of a memorial, which I believe we all are in concurrence that we are standing behind. It's sort of like having a job vacancy and you don't fly a job description, and then someone shows up for an interview and you don't have any questions and you only allow one person in to give their interpretation. So I really seriously request that you put a hold on this project to a policy and a procedures in process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cabrera.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, staff. My name is Pat Tanner. I'm a resident of Atascadero, 20-year veteran of the United States Army and the California National Guard. I'm not an artist. I took a class at Cuesta because the current soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines' responsibility not only to our country, our oath, our service, but also to our comrades that came before us. It speaks to a great many of the hardships that come along with service, whether in time of war or not. We have a saying, it doesn't rain in the Army, it rains on the Army. Alas. Anyway, I think holding this project up because of artistic quality would be a mistake. I think that as it stands, it's a wonderful piece of art. I think as it stands, it speaks to me, and it will speak to others. I would humbly ask you to support it and give your authorization tonight. And I would like to speak to one other thing I was thinking about while standing in line. There's a memorial in Washington, D.C., well, actually in Arlington, that is just as famous, perhaps more so, than the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and that is the Iwo Jima Memorial. It is also busy, but it speaks to a great many things. Anybody who's seen flags of our fathers or can know that. Busy. I just think it speaks to me, touches me, and I'd ask you to approve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Tracy DeVita Bass from Atascadero.
And I am a daughter of a veteran and a professional artist who served on the Art and Public Places Committee. I would like to defend the committee's decision and clear up some mistaken notions recently reported in the newspaper. The committee voted to reject the proposed statue based on 7 specific selection standards as stated in the public arts policy currently in place. The selection standards include form, scale, content, artistic excellence, originality, innovation, materials, vandalism issues, and other topics. We gave great thought to these basic issues and used our artistic backgrounds to judge the proposed statue. I teach art to teens and adults, and my objection was based on basic artistic concepts. I feel that the form of the statue lacks composition, sculptural skill, and design cohesiveness. The committee voted to reject the statue based on design flaws, not on anti-veteran or unpatriotic bias. The committee penned a second motion that reads, "The concept of a war memorial project is accepted by all members of the City of Atascadero's Art and Public Places Committee at the site discussed, and the committee unanimously agreed that it would be willing to assist the Veterans Memorial Committee in considering proposals from multiple artists," at their cost, of course, "recommended the project be finalized by November. Artists, veterans, and just strangers on the street who emailed me and called me and just in general gave support of the Public Art Committee's decision, but were afraid to say so in a public forum. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vitabas.
Mayor Luna, council members, and audience, my name is Dustin Weick, and I've lived in Atascadero all my life. I think that the statue in question is a proper representation of the veterans in this city and this community. I do not think it is active or busy, and that the statue shows timeline and representation of the veterans very well. I have a father who recently served in Iraq and is going back for a second tour, and I think it would be the memorial itself would be very good to honor him and all the veterans and soldiers that are over there right now serving their country. Thank you.
Thank you, Dustin.
Bob Wilkins, Atascadero, lifetime resident, not quite as long as Ernie. But honorable mayor and council members, I'd like to speak in regards to the artist that has been selected. Mark Greenaway has some great credits. The Blue Ribbon Bronze at the San Luis Obispo County Fairgrounds is a very impressive statue. And everybody that goes in is confronted with it immediately. Also, the bronze that's at the Museum of Natural History is quite an impressive piece of art, and this will be just as impressive. It'll represent a different mode within this country, in this town. I have visited the Vietnam Wall, the Korean Memorial, the Iwo Jima. Those are all impressive. And the most impressive thing probably is the Iwo Jima and the Korean. The Vietnam Wall is impressive only because it has a massive number of soldiers, sailors, that have given their life to this country for us to be in the freedom tonight to speak. I am a member of the committee. I totally support this memorial. I would encourage the council to look at it very positively this evening. We've had a number of veterans speaking this evening, and I believe this is a time that we should listen to them. They have listened to us and given us the freedom to speak here, but let's take a hint from them this evening and go ahead and proceed with this memorial. And the only other thing I can say is thank God we're not building a sewer.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins.
All right.
Hello, my name is Kathy Baker, and I'm not a vet, I'm not an artist. I am a mother that lost a son in Iraq on April 4th of 04. He went out on a mission and did not come back, volunteered for that mission. He had 1 week left in Iraq. When I first saw the statue, I thought it was very busy. I really didn't like it. And then things started coming together, and yeah, it's real busy, but the soldiers and the Marines and the sailors are very busy people. I get emails from them all the time saying, sorry, took me so long to get back to you, but been very busy. They're very busy defending our freedom, watching their backs, helping, you know, anybody they can help. So I really like the statue. It's a great statue, and it's great for Atascadero. So please consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Baker.
Good evening, Councilman and woman. I wasn't going to add my 2 cents worth to this
Your
evening's
name?
Bruce Bevins, Atascadero, Rialito Avenue, Atascadero. I wasn't going to add to the already lengthy evening. But the point has been raised that we don't have a process and we're not following a process and so on. True. If we had a process in place and active, we might very well see a different proposal in front of us today. However, the fact is that through ignorance or carelessness, we didn't start down that road. We started down this road. And here we are, and we have this proposal. You can see that a large number of people in this room are heavily invested in it. We might be concerned about a precedent being set here, but I think this is a special circumstance, and I hope the council will consider it that way as a special circumstance. Go ahead and establish a process to be used in the future for public art. I, too, am concerned that people who have been asked to be on a committee or asked to be an artist producing a work are going to be reluctant in the future, perhaps, to undergo this kind of criticism. And if we had a process, it would avoid that. But here we are, and I ask you to honor what the veterans have put forth in good faith, following the process to the best of their ability. I'm a veteran myself. I approve of the project. Some people perhaps wouldn't like the particular piece of art. Perhaps if we had followed a different process, we would have come to some sort of compromise. We did not. Here we are. Please do honor the investment that people here have made in this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bevins.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, my name is John O'Connell. I drove up all the way from Shell Beach tonight. I'm the current Commandant of the Marine Corps League Detachment 6, providing full military honors for deceased veterans. The thing that strikes me about this monument is it shows people. We can't forget the people. It may be busy, but those were busy people. So I would strongly suggest to you to approve the project because people will see those people and remember the people that we lost. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connell.
Mr. Mayor, council members, staff, my name is Brian Atwell, Atascadero, and I appreciate the position you're in tonight. The big question is, for you, where do we draw the line? And as Mr. Ramirez echoed my comments that I made before the Parks and Rec Commission, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And it was mentioned here tonight that we should sit down and look at this art logically. I can assure you that Pablo Picasso is touted as a great artist, and I would challenge any of you to sit down and look at that logically, his artwork. I can also assure you, as many people as oppose this concept today, there you will have just as many that oppose the next concept that comes along. If there is three more concepts that come along, does that mean that Mr. Greenaway's artwork is out the door? Or can the Veterans Project, Memorial Project, come back to it and in the end approve it? I would like to say I have two sons who are 2004 graduates of Atascadero High School, Ryan Carlson and Jeremy Atwell, both at 17-year-old students at Atascadero High raised their right hand, swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and today they're completing their third year as U.S. Army infantrymen. They also have gone on to both graduate airborne school, becoming paratroopers, and Ryan is now an airborne ranger. Jeremy is on his third deployment. He called me yesterday from Baghdad to let me know that his 90 days ETS date, he's supposed to be getting out in 90 days. He called to let me know that that was not going to happen. And it's not because he re-enlisted. He chose not to re-enlist. And at 20 years old, he's a sergeant today. He did not get a promotion to sergeant by not being patriotic and not being squared away in his duties. He wanted to come back home and go to college. Because he was 90 days away from his discharge and he's deployed on his third deployment in Iraq, he was automatically extended. He called me yesterday from Baghdad to let me know his new discharge date is December 7th of this year. What I would like to see is I would ask that the council approve this so the project can be dedicated by Memorial Day, so when he does come home from Iraq, he can see the support that his community has for him.
Thank you, Mr. Atwell.
Hi, my name is Ann Hatch, and I am the Secretary of the Atascadero Veterans Memorial. I always make lots of notes. I think it's just nervous busyness kind of thing. This here, I have different tastes. We'd put a lot of stores out of business. We could have seven stores that sold seven different things. Each of us has our own taste. But it's not about what I think represents the veterans. It's about what they think represents them. And they have chosen this. This memorial isn't about the artist. It's about the men and women it represents. It is not to honor war. It is to honor heroes. This memorial will honor all veterans and their service, past, present, and future. It will include a scroll of honor, as voted on by the Veterans Committee, to honor those people who don't live in Atascadero, who also serve this community. But most importantly, it's about us as Atascaderans. Who we are, what do we honor? Do we have the courage to say thank you to those who have served our country and have sacrificed much? Do we have the courage to stand for our veterans and what they feel represents them? Will we stand for them as they have stood for us? How will we be remembered? What message do we send? This statue symbolizes the commitment, their commitment, not only to our country as symbolized by the flag and the eagle and those values we hold so dear, but also their commitment to duty, to our country, to each other, joined at the hip to those who've gone before them. Our military men and women fight not just for freedoms, but for each other, and that cannot be lost. That is so important that you understand that they fight for the guy on the left, the gal on the right, That's what makes us the incredible people that we are. I urge you to embrace this memorial, to embrace what it is that veterans want to see as representation of them, their service, and their fellow veterans. It symbolizes them, their service, and their sacrifice for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hatch.
Barbie Boots, resident of Atascadero. As a Parks and Recreation Commissioner, you all know I served as the non-voting chair of the ad hoc committee that was formed with our artists to go through the use our arts in public places procedure. And that procedure was put in place by the city council that was in office about 10 years ago, I believe it was. It was about 10 years ago. And at that time, a piece of art was offered to the zoo by an artist, as Brady mentioned earlier. And so our artists had a lot of discussion. We had two meetings. They did give their time. I appreciate what they did. We did have a site visit, and those people who had not been to the site came out to look at it. So if people are not happy with the procedure, then somewhere down the line, I recommend that we look at that procedure and change it if necessary. But here we are right now tonight, and we did follow a procedure that we have in place. I said this at the Parks and Rec meeting also, that everything that we're doing, everything that we have done, is what our veterans have fought for so that we can do this, so that we can discuss it and talk about it. And people like our artists who served for our community could have an opinion, and they had a vote, and you received that vote. Now, it came to the Parks and Recreation Commission because that is the way it works. That's the procedure in place. And after a lot of discussion, more and more discussion, and I think it's really interesting that if all of this hadn't come up, there probably would be a lot of people in this room that still wouldn't even know that there was going to be a memorial to our veterans. But because of what has taken place, I would venture to say the whole county knows, and probably beyond this county, know that we're talking about this. We've had television coverage. We've had all kinds of media coverage. So looking at it in a positive way, it's been good for the project because now people know that we're doing it and why we're doing it. So that part of it I don't think is a bad thing. I do want to see us move forward on this, and after a lot of discussion, the Parks and Recreation Commission made their determination, and you have both of those recommendations. You have a recommendation from Art in Public Places Committee, and you have a recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Commission. So with all the public input all through this process and tonight, it's up to you. And we knew that that is what would happen because that's our government. So I don't think you'll make the wrong decision. I really don't, if you carefully have listened to what everybody has said. But I really don't want us to go away having ill feelings with those artists who served on that ad hoc committee. It's really important that everybody realize that they were following a procedure. And I was really after them to follow the procedure.
Thank you, Ms. Boots.
This started about a year and a half ago. I think it all got started before the Art Council got involved. It was sort of perhaps assumed that Mark Greenaway would do the sculpture because he did the one at the zoo, and he's the county sculptor. He's done a bear in Los Osos, and his sculpture's all over the county. The veterans like this. They get it. It speaks to them. It's their memorial. It's not our memorial. It's for them. So it shows their weapons, their tools of their trade, their expression, their clothing. They can look at it and identify with it and say, the people of Atascadero know what we went through because the statue shows it. The only other thing I was going to say is that this piece is small. It looks to be about 12 by 6 or 8 inches. The memorial is going to be 10 feet by 4 or 5 feet. It won't look so busy in its full stature. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Duty. Is there anyone else? I see three speakers, and I need to call a break. So let's take a 5-minute break. So if you take a seat, we'll get started again. Before we start, I'd like to take a poll of... I'd like to just take a straw poll of the council with continuing the Eagle Creek Golf Course, which is item B1 to the next agenda. It would be the 10th, April 10th. Okay, so...
Could we ask in the public if there...
Is so anyone who came to speak on item B1, which is the Eagle Creek...
There were probably quite a few of us here earlier.
Yeah, I think it's... Do you have a problem with us continuing this to April 10th?
No, I do have none. Do
you guys... Okay, I think when we get to that item, that's probably what we'll do. Is Kelly Gerhardt here?
In World War II by German U-boat before he's picked up alive after 21 days. My grandfather was a Pork Chop Hill veteran in the Korean War, gave his leg. My father served in Desert Storm, and I'm an Iraqi freedom veteran. So I come from a long line of military history. This memorial is more than just a piece of art. It's a monument. I don't even know why art is the issue. Art is something of beauty. This is a monument that accurately depicts what our sons and daughters, brothers, sisters, fathers, and mothers have faced. These are the realities. You know, anybody that says that makes you want to join... If you look on the American flag, there's a World War I soldier wearing a gas mask. I can attest to wearing a gas mask in combat. That doesn't make me want to join. This isn't art. This is freedom of speech right here. This is freedom of speech from the veterans, from the ones who've signed up to protect that freedom of speech for everybody else. And I just want to say that in all the places I've ever been, throughout this country, throughout the world, I've never seen a finer memorial of all the ones that I've seen. And if you talk to anybody outside of this city, where Atascadero is in California, 99% of them have never heard of Atascadero, nor can they pronounce the name Atascadero. And I'm confident to say that a memorial like this will make Atascadero a city that's nationally recognized throughout the country. And I'm confident that my fellow Marines and my fellow veterans love this memorial. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hatch.
Good evening, council members. I'm Bob Prophet from Detachment 680, USMC, San Luis Obispo. I live in Paso Robles and serve proudly on the honor guard for Detachment 680. I would just bring to your remembrance all of these statues that we have been made known to us throughout history. And the most recent ones, some of these gentlemen right here can attest to, they tear them down when they don't mean anything any longer. Saddam Hussein, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, those are down because they meant nothing. This, my friends, means something. Vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Prophet.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Jeff Vandenikoff, and I reside here in Atascadero. I am the former Deputy Director of Public Works and very intimately involved in the community. And I was very intimately involved with the Sunken Gardens Project. So when this Veterans Memorial was first proposed for the Sunken Gardens, I was very much opposed to it. And when it was suggested...
The city.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is Al Fonzi, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Vice Chairman of the Veterans Committee. I'll just address the issue about process real quick. The Parks and Recreation Committee put us through the paces. They were not an easy stairway to climb for us at all. They really asked a lot of hard questions. They did a lot of hard work. And this was a 6-0 decision. They were unanimous, and they were the people that you personally appointed. They weren't people that we had any influence over at all. There's a reason why they rejected the Art Committee's recommendations, and I'm just going to suggest that if there's an issue about that, you should ask them. At that meeting that occurred a month ago, there were a lot of speakers for it. There was not one single person who spoke against the memorial. And that's probably unfortunate because there's been some good comments tonight. But I think it's important to understand, you know, if you want your voice to be counted, you have to have the moral courage to stand up and be counted. And nobody showed up. Not one single person chose to speak against it, which probably had some bearing on why they voted the way they did. I want to harken back to 9/11 and where we all were. When 9/11 occurred, I was a deputy director of a National Emergency Management Training Agency in Camp San Luis Obispo, running a counterterrorism class, consequence management. One of my students was the deputy director of New York State Emergency Services. I had a number of other New Yorkers there who had various responsibilities, and they were stranded because they grounded all the aircraft. So I spent the next day trying to get them on board military aircrafts. His counterpart was attending a conference in South Dakota, and it's kind of a funny story because that individual weighed 350 pounds, and they packed him into an F-16 and sent him back to New York State. I don't know how they got him out. They must have used a big can opener. But anyway, at that week, that Saturday, because sometimes I work with your fire department, the firemen were out there in Sunken Gardens collecting money for the family of fallen firefighters. And in the space of less than 3 hours, this community pulled together and donated over $4,000 to the families of those firefighters and other lost emergency services workers. We've come a long way from them. We're a very, very divided nation for a lot of reasons. And this memorial, unfortunately, I think, has taken on some of the hue of that division, which is very unfortunate. I'm glad there have been apologies to Mr. Greenaway. tonight because I think they were long overdue. There was a lot of really nasty things said about him, about our committee, a lot of ridicule and letters to the editor and so forth. A lot of misinformation out there. And there's a lot of strange criticism. I mean, everything was criticized, not just the statue, the flags, the eagle, the faces on the flag, soldiers carrying weapons. I mean, soldiers carry weapons. I'm sorry, that's what we do. Sometimes we even use them. But, you know, doctors carry stethoscopes, and as Colonel Hatch reminds you, they not only carry stethoscopes, firemen carry fire axes, and lawyers carry briefcases of other people's money. That's just the part of the business that we're in and what we do. I appreciate the comments of Mr. Fuller and his expertise and the things that he had to say. I just wish he had made them to us 6.5 months ago, because what has happened in the last 6.5 months is nobody, not one single person, has come forward to our committee or to our artist with any kind of suggestion along artistic lines and said, I think you should do this, and sat down with him and talked to him about it, or come to our meetings or said anything to us. What we've heard is reject the project, delay the project, change the project, do anything but don't let this project be built. And unfortunately, I've heard some comments of a few people who don't want any kind of project at all honoring veterans and memorials, because tolerance is an interesting word, because tolerance doesn't mean you accept something. It means you have to first not like something, and you tolerate its existence. And that's what I don't see happening. The art community, I think, needs to learn to tolerate another point of view in this particular case. They have their ideas. We have ours. This is a privately funded operation, and frankly, if they wanted to do something, why didn't they? Why didn't the city in the last 93 years do something? We're a group of private citizens who happen to be veterans and military families who came together to do something because we recognize nobody has done anything. And we're trying to make a gift to the city. And we're willing to help you maintain it over the course of the years and set up procedures to do that. So I guess what we really have here tonight is I'm just asking that you make the decision tonight to please accept this, or make the decision that you don't want to accept it. But if you do, you're basically saying to us, we don't want to honor the veterans. I know a lot of people are saying...
Thank you, Mr. Fonzie. Your time is up.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Ms. Hatch?
I'm representing two other community members who had to leave and left me a statement to read.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, it was brought to my attention by Mr. David Murrell that the placement of this memorial at the Lake Park was most appropriate in his opinion, and for this reason. Longtime residents of Atascadero would know, which I am cannot yet claim, is that Mr. Charles Paddock lost his son in Vietnam in 1967. And what a fitting honor to his son and to the contributions that he has made to this city to honor his son by erecting a veterans memorial on property that he has so developed and enhanced our community with. My second statement is from Gregor Jones, who makes his apologies for not being able to be present this evening, and this is his message. Honorable Mayor and members of the Atascadero City Council, I am sorry that I will not be able to attend tonight's meeting. My son's last night at home is tonight, and he is leaving for a six-month tour of duty in the Gulf aboard the USS Nimitz. On behalf of my son, his wife, who is a U.S. Navy pilot, and myself, a veteran of the U.S. Army, I urge you to approve the request of the Veterans Group for a memorial to those who have served and died in the defense of our country to be located near the Atascadero Zoo on Highway 41. It is my hope that this council, no matter its current beliefs, would recognize that those who honorably served our country from this area should be recognized for their service, respectively. Excuse me, respectfully, Gregor Jones. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hatch. If anyone wants to speak, please line up.
Glenn Sawyer. I'm the quartermaster of VFW Post 2814 here in Atascadero. It's been on that corner down there for 74 years. So I want to assure you that we will take care of the flags. We will purchase them and see that they're maintained to the standards of our country. I had a pleasure serving during World War II in the Pacific, and I hope that you see fit to approve this monument. I'm not that late. Thank you.
Thank you.
Speak to young people today. They're ignorant to what has happened
in our past and in our history. They're ignorant to the sacrifices that were given before them. They're ignorant to the wars that we fought before this. And I'm hoping that as they come and see this memorial, and as I explain, the faces are different, because this is World War I, this is World War II, this is World War III, this is Vietnam, Korea, I'm sorry, jumping ahead.
Please don't.
I hope to never fight that war. I find that before the Park and Recreation meeting, I hadn't seen this piece of art. Since then, I've been able to look at it, and as other people have said, the piece really moves me, and it shows to me the sacrifices that were given before me so that I could go and serve my country in the manner that Tony Blair was asked recently by one of the members of his house, why do you support the United States? They're so controversial in around the world. He said, I support the United States because there's two people that will give their lives for you, Jesus Christ and an American soldier. If that's what's asked of us, that's what we'll do. We'll do it proudly. We ask that you'll support this and honor those that have given that sacrifice before us, and pray that we never have to give that sacrifice again. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Sergeant Erford, and thank you for your service.
Mr. Mayor, my name is Raymond Gould. I'm a resident of Atascadero. I live off on Santa Barbara Road. And I am not a vet, but my brother is, and my uncles are. And I just want to say, recently, I went up to Seattle, Washington, because my brother was diagnosed with cancer, and we were up there at the VA hospital. And I had a really heavy heart. I really felt that the vets there were treated like second-class citizens. I listened to a lot of the vets talk among each other, talking about the effects of Agent Orange and asbestos in the submarines on the pipes in there and the effects they had. And I really saw the ugly side of war. And I'm just here to say that I think it would be an honor and a great tribute, you know, to the citizens of Atascadero if we erected this memorial for our veterans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gould.
Mayor and City Council, my name is Sergeant Russell Dagnall. I'm a recent resident here to Atascadero, just last 3 weeks. I'm not an artist expert, that's for sure. I'm an Iraqi war veteran, and with all the chaos that's going around the world and everything you hear about, it's greater than a lot of people may not understand or ever know. It would make me very proud to be living in this community, to know I can drive down the road and show my daughter, my son, my wife, who they suffered and sacrificed a lot too, of what it is, of why I wear this uniform. And that fine Marine at on point right there, that's representing the future. It's showing that there's Americans out here that are willing, that are still honorable and willing to protect those when our nation calls on them. So I'm not an art expert. I see the sacrifices of the fine military forces from the past into the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergeant Dagnall. Seeing no other speakers, I'll close it to the public, bring it back to the council. First of all, I want to thank you all. This is obviously a very emotional issue. But I think you've set a model for controversial issues that I would hope that other audiences emulate. You've been a good audience, and I sincerely appreciate that since I run the meetings.
Okay, now we have to do some deliberation here, and I see Councilmember Clay is first.
Yes, George. I'd like to make a motion, then we can do some discussion. I'd like to move that the Parks and Recreation Commission's recommendation to the council to approve the proposed Veterans Memorial Project at the Lake Park as proposed be approved, and we send the veterans on with our blessing.
I'll second the motion.
Got a motion by Councilmember Clay and a second by Councilmember O'Malley to accept the recommendation of the Parks and Recreation Commission. Any discussion? Councilmember Barreau.
Thank you for letting me have some time to bring up some points. I do fully support the building of a Veterans Memorial in Atascadero, and I wish the city could have had money to build it, but we don't. I agree that the city should provide public land for this memorial, and I don't believe it is my job as a city councilwoman to give an opinion about the artwork presented. We rely on the appointed public arts committee to do that job, who are also members, who are distinguished artists in our community. They make recommendations based on their expertise, and this is the reason we are here tonight. Many here tonight have said it's not about the art, and I don't agree. I think we all agree that we would like to have a veterans memorial. The proposed location is public land, and that requires public review. I support the decision of the Public Art Committee. They were faced with a project that was well advanced in its design, and as many people did state tonight, that I think everybody now knows we do have a public arts policy, so that is a positive point. I'm angered by the personal attacks, and I'm glad that there has been some apologies made tonight regarding that. I want to thank Mayor Luna for keeping order, and I believe at the Parks and Rec meeting that it wasn't as orderly, and I do feel that there was people there who expressed themselves tonight that didn't feel comfortable expressing themselves that night because of the intimidation that they felt. I also have been shocked by the insinuations and tactics of intimidation by members of the Atascadero Veterans Memorial Committee to label citizens as unpatriotic if they didn't like their plans for a memorial. I felt that was inappropriate, and I was surprised that that happened. Building a veterans memorial is an honorable cause. It is a public expression of honor and respect. The controversy is about the sculpture that was that's being shown here tonight, and it indicates that we need to open up the process to new ideas. Whether we give further direction to Mr. Greenaway or...
months, but that is the nature of art. And as one speaker said earlier, just ask Maya Lin, the designer of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. If the soldiers whose names are proposed to appear on the wall could speak to us tonight, I suspect that they would agree that no matter what we feel about the nature of the art, that we treat one another with dignity and respect the right to have differing opinions. That is what I argue they gave their lives for. And I'm sure that they would also voice the words of the statesman Daniel Webster, who many years ago wrote, "If we work upon marble, it will perish. If we work upon brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work upon men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with the just fear of God and the love of their fellow men, we engrave upon those tablets something which no time can efface and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity." I'm proposed to support this project. Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I don't have a prepared speech, but I do want to offer some comments. I do feel like the city did follow the policy and the procedures set up with the Arts Committee. It never intended that was mandatory to accept their decision. They go through a process and they make input to the Parks and Recreation Commission. That's how it's set up. Parks and Recreation Commission makes a input to the council and the council makes a decision. I've spent a lot of my life supporting art in this community. I've
But I'm not an artist, I admit it. My grandmother was a local artist. My mother was a local artist here in town, and I was not. But I have liked to support art. My dream for Atascadero is we would have a lot of public art around the community. I think it's the council's job to identify locations and hope the community would bring forth some projects. And again, that's what happened in this case. A group of private citizens came forward with a project, and probably each one individually for their own reasons. I think I know in myself, as just being a licensed therapist and working with many veterans over the years, just in a counseling perspective, I think it is very cathartic to go through this. And I know myself, just working on this project, thinking about many things in my past, just and not only my mother, going out to Camp Roberts, a local girl playing at USO shows, and meeting Sergeant Edward A. O'Malley, and kind of getting a glimpse of what that life was before me, and not really being in a military experience myself, watching my son make a decision on his own to go off to West Point, be an Arabic major, and we thought, what a great school that is. And then 9/11 hit, and we're watching those planes crash into those buildings. We try to get through on the phone to our son and find out he's on guard duty. What? We thought he was away at a nice college and had a lot of opportunity to visit him there. And I think when you walk around West Point, if you're not patriotic before, you will be when you're there. It's when you walk by those cannons captured from the bridge. I think we've done our due diligence. I think we've gone through a process. Unfortunately, I think I took some of the heat from our committee, who I kept saying, well, we got to go through the process, and you're going to lay out all these steps. I think folks have been very patient and gone through a lot of steps, and now it's time for us to make a decision. And with that, I do support this project.
Councilmember Clay.
Tom, I'm glad you didn't make a prepared statement. Okay.
Yeah. I could work on it while you're talking.
I was, come from the World War II era, and we had three instructors at Camp Roberts that stayed at our house during World War II for 2 or 3 years, and they were my friends. You know, I mean, I was a young kid, and they taught me how to shoot and this thing and that, brought me shells, and taught me how to fish, really, to be truthful with you. But and the patriotism then was unbelievable, you know, just everybody, and we're losing some of that. But and Ernie Porter that stepped up here, I don't know whether he's still in the crowd, but he was wounded terribly, you know, and he overcame it, and he was kind of like a hero. He could swim. That guy could swim. He was at the lake, and he was a lifeguard. He saved lives out at the lake, actually, and I think it's beautiful, and I think it honors our veterans, and it honors our city, and I certainly support it.
Well, I guess it's my turn. I came with three prepared speeches, none of which of them which I will use. It's clear to me that this is an emotional issue, particularly for the veterans, and it's the veterans. This is all about the veterans designing something to honor their comrades. And as I was listening to this, I was thinking of my father. My father served at Okinawa. He was a radio operator on the USS Adams, and it was hit by kamikazes. And he was very, very proud of his service. And I think I'm going to support this because of him. Call a question.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou.
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Yes.
And Mayor Luna.
Yes.
4-1, motion passes.
Again, thank you very much, and I think we'll take a 5-minute break just so the room can clear. Councilmember Clay out there? Oh, there he is.
I have to step down on.
But don't go home. Okay, the next item on the agenda.
This week. And so we're expecting you may want to get your cameras and go down and take a look at the end of the week. We've got a big crane down there, and we're ready to erect the walls of the new community center. So I wanted to just let you know that we're very excited by this, and now you can really see that this is a reality, and it will be here before we know it. So this report tonight is about the operations of the community center, and I wanted to walk you through some of the things that we have been considering, discussing, and some of the plans that we have. You all know some of the background. Started with the art committee. The community effort began in 1991 with a letter to the editor. In 94, we obtained the printery, and we were going to be using that as the youth center, and we did use it as the youth center and shared it with the Masons, who just dedicated their new facility last Friday. Because of the unreinforced masonry building, it was used for the skate park and youth activities until the earthquake of 2003. And then we acquired the former hay and feed building, which you see a picture of on the screen behind me, and we were considering that for quite a while as a use of youth center or the recreation center. But we decided that we would use that facility for a permanent indoor skate park, which I can't say enough about how successful that skate park has been, primarily because of our partnership with Mobley's Board Shop and Austin Miller and Dane Mansfield. They told me the other day that they're putting $2,000 a month operating into the skate park. And they've built a wonderful BMX freestyle course out back for bicycles. So now we have skateboards indoors and bicycles outdoors, and it's just been fantastic. There, in fact, I've been hearing on the radio recently about upcoming contests and things like that where they bring in pro skaters. In 2005, the council designated the community center as an alternate project for FEMA funds, and we began planning with the kids to start talking about what they wanted to see in the community center, and there's been many, many meetings with kids about that. That, of course, led to the site selection that the city council made the decision to put it at Colony Park, former Trafficway Park. This is a schematic of the Phase 1 design for the community center. You see, we leave the ball fields as they are, and the community center is dropped in right there with the parking and a lot of landscaping around. I want to show you a little bit about the footprint of the building. And if I could direct your attention to the screen, you will enter here. This is the lobby. There will be some internet cafe-style computers here. This will be a staff supervision desk, circulation, and they will supervise the teen center, which is located here. This will be a game room and a lounge with video games, table games, all kinds of activities for the kids. We have a cafe, which is going to be located here. And we have an outdoor patio, which will serve the cafe and the kids using. There's a little restroom here. We have a conference room, meeting room located here. Storage, additional storage here. And then we have an art classroom right here. That art classroom will also double as our homework lab after school. We plan to partner with Mobley's to offer a computer lab there where we will have attendants that will work with kids after school and help them with their homework. Next to that, we have a dance and exercise room that will have flooring suitable for exercising, for everything from ballet to self-defense and all kinds of classes that may want to use that. And it also has a telescoping wall there where the space can be divided into two. All of these things that I'm talking about were decided as we went through the public process with the youth and the Parks and Recreation Commission and many public meetings over the last several years. Down this hall, we have the men's and women's restrooms. And we have storage here and janitorial office there. So that essentially gives you an idea of all the uses and the types of spaces that we have set aside in the new facility. I just wanted to draw your attention particularly to the teen center. I'm not too sure if this slide is real clear, but this is a better look at the entrance. Here's some of where the computers are going to be, the internet-style cafe computers, which will be in close proximity to the staff supervision area. And then you see sprinkled throughout the teen center here are pool tables, foosball, Dance Dance Revolution, some video games. Then we have a lounge area over here. There will also be some video games located here. You can see this is a better look at the outdoor patio and the cafe with the kitchen. And so wanted to talk a little bit about some of our program considerations. As the council pointed out the last meeting when we chose a name for the facility, this is more than just a youth center. It is a community center. We're going to be serving all ages from tots, say, and tumbling and classes like that, all the way to older adults, so senior populations. During the day when the kids are in school, we plan to have activities and such as painting or yoga, senior exercise in the center during the day when the kids are in school. We have a lot of existing programs, as you may know, that are held at the pavilion or held at school facilities that we plan to move over into the new building. So we'll be able to add a lot of programming into the building without really taking on additional new programming costs because of that. Also, we're going to have some of I mentioned the school facilities that we use. Right now we spend in excess of $10,000 a year on school fees for their facilities. So we'll no longer have to use, you know, as many of their school facilities, particularly the gyms, because we'll have our own gym for a lot of our activities, such as youth basketball, youth volleyball, and things like that. And years ago, when the school district raised its fees for the use of their facilities, we actually dropped our adult leagues that were conducted in the school facilities, such as adult basketball and adult volleyball, because the market simply wouldn't bear those fees. Spring break, Christmas break, things like that. The hours will be Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday again, 1 to 5. Now, you may ask, well, won't it be open later, say on a Friday or Saturday night when we might want to have a dance for the kids or some special events might be taking place, even rental activities? The answer to that question is yes. These are just the regular hours of operation when the facility will be open and the teen center will be open free of charge for kids to drop in and things such as that. So there will be extended hours, but it will be based on special use, special events, or rental activities. Some potential revenues that will be generated there in the community center, obviously facility rentals, program revenues from leagues, classes, things like that, clubs, special events. We're estimating that to be $10,000 to $40,000 annually. Our administrative services director, Rochelle, and I have had some meetings about this, and of course my revenue projections are a lot more optimistic than her revenue projections, so we agreed to this range. And when this budget comes before you in the spring, you know, for the next fiscal year, we will have more precise numbers for these revenues, the ones I can get her to accept, I should say, and then you'll get a better idea. And so, but we're saying right now on these new programs and things between $10,000 and $40,000 annually, and it depends on how well I can convince her that my projections are going to pan out. Savings from rental fees paid to the school district, I mentioned that earlier. It's a little more than $10,000 annually. We expect some concession revenues from the concession, but we don't expect a lot. And, in fact, we did put out an RFP, which I explain in the report. We didn't really get much interest. Especially, I was hoping I had talked to the owner, one of the local franchise owners here in town at Subway and some other businesses like that. They chose not to submit a proposal because they didn't really feel comfortable with the numbers. We couldn't really tell them how many kids a day or how many people a day would be passing through those doors. So I think in the long run, we may want to put out another RFP in the future, maybe a year or two after this facility's open, depending on how well we like the way we're going to operate the concessions in the interim, and we may get more interest in that. In the meantime, the YMCA has stepped forward and said they would like to operate the cafe, and if there are any positive revenues from that, they would like to put those back into the operations and the programming of the building, which is great for the city. It's one less thing we have to do, and it offers additional support. Also, I should mention Jennifer Rines was here earlier in the evening, and she was going to address the council and just say that they were glad to be partnering with the city in programming and operating the community center, but she had to leave because of the length of the fiscal agent in the grant. That will enable us to operate the teen center and the lounge much more economically than we would if we didn't have the grant, because the grant funds will pay Y staff to supervise that, at least after school, we'll say 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, which will save the city considerable amount of money since we won't be staffing the teen center at those times. And as you know, the teen center doesn't really have any revenues connected with it, so that's where a lot of our operational subsidy is and for our part-time staff. Also, we're going to be looking for sponsorships. We've got a number of sponsors for the building already. I don't want to mention names because I'll probably forget some, but I know we have service clubs and private businesses that are sponsoring some rooms in the building, and so that's adding to some of the private participation we have in the building. Certainly, we plan to do fundraisers and get donations. It would be nice to establish an endowment fund where we could use the interest to help pay for the operating costs, and we're looking at some other potential revenues as well. Some of the operations models that we're using, obviously, we're going to have city programs in there. We'll have Y programs, as I mentioned. The school district is interested in partnering with us, and that's particularly in the case of the grant. Mobley's Board Shop has indicated that they will help us fund capital equipment to outfit the computer lab or the homework lab by helping us buy computers to get that open. We also will work with the Youth Task Force and Community Link on providing services there. Some of those would be more in the social services area. Also, for building and grounds maintenance, we propose in-house operations and maintenance. Originally, the Public Works Department really requested two full-time persons in the budget that you will see later in the spring. We're proposing really only one full-time maintenance person be assigned there, and we think we can do that and maintain the building very well. We may have some small private contracts, but that full-time maintenance person, like Sandy Scott at the pavilion, will be there to take care of the building as well as do some of the exterior grounds maintenance as well. For the cafe operations I've already mentioned, we plan to use the Y. This is the community center's fiscal impact, and I want to say this is our first rough cut at it. Rochelle Rickard and I are still fine-tuning this. We think we're going to actually bring these numbers down some, but right now building and grounds maintenance is projected to be $229,000. The center program operations, $256,000, for a subtotal of $485,000. I hope to see that we will be able to generate some savings and new revenues that will total about $35,000. Bringing our grand operations total to $450,000, which will essentially be the subsidy that the city will be providing for the building. So that's, at least right now, our ballpark net on the expense.
You said there's going to still be adult classes offered, so they're not going to be offered until after 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, actually, the adult classes, when school is in session, will more likely be during the day, so it will be for seniors, some of the older classes for older adults.
So the times you said saying it's open from 3 to 8, that's just the teen center hours?
Yeah, that's primarily the teen center youth drop-in hours.
Okay.
During the day, when Paul is there, and our contract instructors, like it could be Evelyn, who teaches watercolor, or a yoga instructor, maybe the lady who does chair exercises for seniors, they'll all be there during the day, Monday through Friday, having classes for the older adults, and also just people who want to come out and take a recreation class. It may be a lunchtime basketball game for adults that work, that want to drop by and play a game. So it'll be open.
So the doors are not going to be locked and only open at 3
yeah,
o'clock.
The,
okay,
because
that's
hours,
the impression I got when I first read the report. That,
yeah, but those hours will be for the kids primarily in the teen center hours of operation. I should have made that more clear.
Okay, and then my other question is, it's $225,000 for maintenance. Of course, it's a new building. There's not a lot of maintenance in the beginning. Does that set aside funds for future repairs and things like that? I'm just wondering why that number is so high.
Yes, it does set aside building occupancy charges, just as we have for this building and the pavilion and things like that. So we will have some set aside funds like that. The building, it's incredible, and we checked our numbers. Mr. Lewis, Jim Lewis, and Rochelle and I, we went to Santa Maria, and we kind of checked our numbers. And, for example, just for the electricity, we're looking at about $60,000 a year just for utilities alone. And I see Rochelle has stepped to the podium, so I'm sure she has something to add.
I'm sorry. It does not include for any replacement. It is incredibly expensive to operate the building. You have a full-time custodian there that's there too. He's going to be cleaning the bathrooms, maintaining the building, maintaining the outside of the building. You have all of the supplies when you start to think about it for a building. You have paper towels, toilet paper, those types of things. You have, as you said, we're budgeting utilities at around $63,000, which is similar to the pavilion and similar to Santa Maria. We have, you know, when you start thinking about everything you have uniforms, you have rags, you have fire alarm service, you have all of those things. So we have compared it to many other buildings and gone through cost by cost. And trust me, I have challenged these guys on every single number they've given me, trying to get them down to a realistic number that's going to be extremely tight, but hopefully we can do it. So the 229, when you look at it, you go, whoa. But when you start looking at what's there individually, there's not a lot of fluff. That's what it costs to maintain the building. There is no replacement. If an air conditioner goes out or the plumbing goes out, there's enough for small repairs, but there's not going to be enough to replace the roof in 20 years.
Okay.
Rochelle, while you're there,
right.
Well, yeah, we're hoping it'll be open in October.
Okay.
Yeah. But, Rochelle, we plan to budget the entire amount for the year?
No. We plan to budget a proportion.
A proportion. That's what I wanted to hear. Councilmember Clay.
Yes. What about volunteerism in regards to cutting our costs?
That's a great question. We have a new AmeriCorps worker, Gary Wood. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to meet him. He's our volunteer coordinator for the city, and we have high hopes for what Gary will be able to accomplish in using volunteers for things like trail maintenance and park projects and things like that. He's also going to be working on recruiting volunteers for the new community center. But one of the things you need to know that volunteers should be seen as a supplement to the staff, not to supplant the staff.
Yeah, I understand that, Brady. You know, like the police department, there's people that are attracted to that type of work and they enjoy it, and I'm sure there's people that enjoy the recreation end of it, and we got a lot of retirees in Atascadero. The other thing is, as far as adults using, I'm sure there's going to be some areas during the day that that adults could use, you know, during the time that the youth are in there?
Oh, sure. Yeah. For example, the youth could be in the teen center. They could be in the gym, but there may be an adult class going on in the exercise room or the arts and crafts room. It's not mutually exclusive.
So October's the day, yeah?
That's what we project right now if everything stays on target.
All righty.
Councilmember Burrow.
Thank you. I had more questions. when do you think we'll find out about this 21st century grant?
We should know probably within the next 45 days. So by the time we get to considering the budget, you know, for the new fiscal year, we should have that information, whether that's going to come through or not.
And I mean, we've all heard of the YMCA, but is that considered a nonprofit organization? Is it a faith-based? Can you just clarify exactly what their structure is?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Councilwoman Bayrou, the Y is a nonprofit organization. They were faith-based when they originally started out, and however, their programs are non-denominational. I mean, when you go into a Y, it operates a lot like a Boys and Girls Club. There's no evangelism or ministering going on in the programs. In fact, the one in San Luis, to me, it reminds me more of a private health club or something like that, the way it operates.
That's it? Okay. Seeing no other lights, I'll open it to the public. Is there anyone else in the public, anyone in the public at all who wants to speak on this? Sandy, were you getting up? Okay. If anybody wants to speak on this, please move to the lectern.
I'm Barbie Boots, and I just like to say yes. October just sounds like tomorrow. That's wonderful.
And the Y was the leading model out there to partner in operating the new center. And so we still feel that information, that data is still valuable today. And more importantly, our discussions with the Y board of directors and their staff, I believe former Mayor Ray Johnson is on the Y board, and so we have that connection, and I believe Supervisor Jim Patterson is also on their board or some auxiliary board, and so we've got a real good relationship with the people at the Y in San Luis Obispo, and as I mentioned, Jennifer Rines was here earlier from the staff, and so we're excited about working with them and they with us, and we think there's a lot we can accomplish together by kind of pooling our resources and offering services.
And great. Jennifer has served on the Youth Task Force for several years. I think she isn't coming as often just because of her job changing, but she really knows Atascadero, lives in Atascadero. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that had anything to do with Jerry. You were around in the beginning too, so to speak. And it's really just exciting to sit here and see that presentation, Brady. Yeah, you did a great job, and I really appreciate. I like to think that I represent right at this moment all of those people that worked from that letter to the editor to get to this point. So it's really really nice to see. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbie. Seeing nobody else, I'll close it to the public and bring it back to the council and ask for a motion. I'd move the staff recommendation.
Second.
It's pretty much just a receive and file type
okay.
report.
Okay, we'll receive and file. That makes it easy. Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. We'll wait till Councilmember O'Malley gets back.
We could do that YMCA thing, you know, where you all this. Just a joke.
Okay, I have no reports. Mayor Pro Tem Brenler?
None.
Councilmember Barreau?
I did go to the IWMA. That was interesting meeting everybody, but they don't really have a lot on their agenda, believe it or not, so I can't really think of anything that noteworthy. But I do want to, since I have the microphone on, I do want to make a comment about the meeting tonight.
Why don't you keep that until individual determination?
Okay, we'll do that.
Councilmember Clay?
No report.
Councilmember O'Malley?
No report.
So now we'll move on to individual determination and our action. City Council, Councilmember Barreau.
I was happy that the meeting tonight
be given a full response to that's individualized, and so I am concerned about that as a practice, but I did not reference you personally. I referenced myself.
Well, I think you're too quick there, because oftentimes I will come with a prepared statement. In preparing for a meeting, of course, you do your homework and you look at the different options that you could go through, and as you'll see, council members are up here writing things down. They're changing what they came prepared to
well,
do.
You're assuming that we're changing. I write things down. I write names down. I write little phrases down.
Well,
seldom do I change.
No. But I mean, it's not. I mean, maybe everybody doesn't work the way you do. I come with an outline basically, and then I modify it as we hear public testimony.
You do a good job, George. I'm honestly. I mean, you do.
Well, how do we know that Councilmember Barreau is not doing the same thing?
Well, that's fine. I didn't.
So I think
see
that,
your notes.
I think the complaint is the judgment, and then not respecting the differences, which is part of our norm.
I know, but I think
again, my
think
comment was
Ellen's assuming that Tom was making a judgment. I thought he just said didn't.
Well, let's postpone this. So I think you just directed it personally at me. I did not make anything directed towards you personally. You directed that towards me personally. So you're making an assumption about me. I simply stated I did not make a prepared statement. You directed that towards me.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenner.
Just a couple comments. I was a little bit offended as well, in part because I've heard it now. This is probably the third or fourth time that I've heard those exact words at the conclusion of one of my comments or speech, if you like to call it such. I penciled everything out as I was receiving comments, and it happened to be on the top of a quotation I had written from Daniel Webster, which I thought was quite pertinent. It wasn't prepared. It was penciled out as we took testimony from the public. So I think we can just stray away from that kind of those comments. They don't serve a purpose.
Well, I think I hope we would have some tolerance because
if I can just
simply
interject
made
here,
a comment. You're going to interrupt me? Okay.
Yes, because I think that what this needs to be done is that the May 5th, I think it is, Cinco de Mayo, for council norms. That's the time when we should be discussing and hashing this out.
I'm sure you're right, George, but let's not have such thin skin. Good heavens. I mean,
let's discuss all this
Well, we need to
discuss Cinco de Mayo.
We haven't confirmed that we're going to have that meeting. I think there's many things that need to be discussed if we're going to have that meeting.
I thought we were going to have that meeting. Isn't that on the...
George,
is Cinco de Mayo council norms?
I have scheduled it for May 5th, the council norms, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I still think we ought to go for pillow fights. It'd be a good solution, you know. Yeah.
I like squirt guns myself.
Okay. Well, that'd be good, too.
Okay.
I just want to say it's an element of respect to not make little comments that maybe you don't intend them to be demeaning or dismissing, but they are. And okay. I had some prepared thoughts. I'm a person who lives at a computer, so I didn't take notes before I came. I typed them up. And
the portion to be about 10 in the morning. If anybody's going to attend, we'll try to make sure that you're noted there as part of the meeting. And again, May 18th is when we're working, when the fire department is conducting the citywide emergency drill. And we're working with other agencies, and there will be a lot more publicity coming out on this, but it'll be continue to be May 18th.
That's it?
Yes, sir.
With that, we're adjourned. You don't want to talk about council?